Good afternoon, everybody. We're so glad you're here and ready to learn how to be even more healthy. And since Reverend Ralph hasn't shown up yet, Ann will do a blessing. But I'm very happy to introduce Terry.
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, you're here. Terry Koenig, who is not only a gerontologist, but she's a health and wellness coach. And we need her.
We all need a coach sometimes.
And she is with the Live Well Center at the hospital, which we are extremely fortunate to have, as you will learn from her. And you can go ahead.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for all the many blessings that you have given us, for our good friends, for our church family, our family, for this wonderful food that is before us. We ask that you bless the food. Bless all of us, and particularly bless Terry, who does so much good, and who is recovering from back surgery. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He knows.
We need to remind him for more blessings.
Well, before I get started, I see that you have a... first of all, I'm thrilled to be here. I have been here once before... When Ann invited me, and this was years ago, so it's time to come back because so much has changed. But first, I want to tell you, you've got some flyers back there, the Senior Center newsletter, and the Wellness Expo, which Live Well is there. We do screenings. About 300 booths. No, that's not true. About 40 or 50 booths, and there's usually. It's incredible. Everybody comes. The day, the mayor gives us the day of wellness, and we just have a good time, and there's a free lunch and or a donation, whatever you want, and a fashion show and resources, and there's just all kinds of things. So I encourage you to go because we could see each other again. I know you're excited. Okay. All right, so do you feel as... Oh, I'm Terry Koenig. I just give you some more detail. This is my encore career. I started out as a teacher, and then I used to visit homes. This is when the teachers went to the homes and instead of the kids coming to the school with their parents. So I would go into the homes, and I would see that they might not have a lot of furniture, but they had a huge TV. So I went into documentary filmmaking for about 25 years. And when I came out of it, I had back trouble, knee trouble. I had so much from lifting things incorrectly, from doing, you know, we pick up chronic conditions along our way. And by the time of 52, I decided to go back to school, and I went into aging because I thought, man, everybody's doing it. You can't get away from it. So I wanted to know more about it for me and to share the wealth because this is, you know, I think we're in the most glorious chapters of our lives right now. I've never had so much fun. Hi, come on in. Oh, grab some food. Anyway, Nancy Higgins. Yes. You thought you'd come in anonymously. And so I went into aging and got my degree. 2 years, a master's of science. Man, I hadn't been to college in 30 years, and it was hard. You'd think I could study all along and remember everything. No, I had to actually cram the night before if I was going to retain anything for the next day's test because I couldn't retain. My brain had changed. It got all filled up with, you know, did I put the dry cleaning in? When do I pick it up? Is the mortgage paid? You know, all the details of living, plus jobs. So I learned a lot when I went back to school. I learned a lot about me. And when I came to this community, gosh, you know, we've got a great group of all of us who are aging. But mostly, I would say midlife and on, we're a pretty snappy community. You know, we're still all growing. We want to learn. Alice, tell us how old you are. And come on, you shout it out all the time. Okay, 90. She's raised 13 children, and she comes to our lectures, and she's incredible.
Do they all have,
are the people coming in? I've got the handouts for you, so you don't have to follow along. You can follow along with the PowerPoint and make notes, but you're going to remember exactly what you need to remember. Just have confidence, and the rest will float on by while you're chewing your wonderful lunches. It smells so good in here. So that's how I came to come to, I came to St. George, and I've been here 10 years, and I love it, and I love the people, and I'm so proud to be a part of this community, because I've never seen a community that is so tuned in to service to one another, and just the awareness outside ourselves. I think we're like no other place in the country, because narcissism is rampant. Anyway, Paul, it's nice to see you. Hi. He's everywhere. I just came from a class with him. Okay, so do you feel, ask yourself the question, do you feel as good as you could? And you just answer it to yourself, and we'll go through this. So these are some of the things, these are some of the things we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about exercise, nutrition, mental vitality, sleep, stress reduction, nurture your relationships, connect with your community, you're doing it right now, practice prevention. These are areas that will ensure, if you're paying attention, and I'm talking about baby steps. If you just start drinking one more cup of water, that's a change. That helps your brain connect better. It gets the toxins out of your body. Just making small changes. And I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. I'm reminding you. I'm reminding you that what you know is right. So here we go. Move well. These are the four types of movement that you want to get in sometime during the week. You want to get your heart up to a sustained level of your heart rate up and sustain it. So that could be walking. Now, my my back surgeon said, oh, Terry, don't worry. You've got I just had back surgery, and today's my first day back, and I feel great. I really do. And but he said, all you have to do for rehab is walk. So I was walking like this, you know, like through the mall, and I found out you have to get your heart rate up. You've got to get going. So I've improved my walking. Balance, boy, has anyone taken a fall recently? Say in the last 3 months. Taken a fall in the last 3 months? Good. That's not too many. I have taken a fall many times. In fact, that's what got me going to the back doctor, because I had a dropped foot. And now everything's reconnected, and I'm retraining my body. But I fell flat on my face. In the span of a month, I probably fell 4 times flat on my face in the gym. And I had to do a lot of exercise. So balance is really important, because falling can be a world of hurt, as you know. And if you've got good, strong bones, which, by the way, giving up the carbonated drinks, I'm glad to see you don't have any back there. Because the carbonation is what robs you of your bone mass. Carbonation does that. And I've been drinking, you know, Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi for decades, and I've given it up mostly. I don't let it in the house. But, you know, so they're willing to lose a little bit, but that's okay. If you're not drinking 20 a day, you know, everything's in moderation. That's what I think. So I drink my Diet Coke when I go out to dinner. I allow myself, because sometimes it's just so festive. flexibility. How many people do stretches or I want to get back to balance, the yoga and Tai Chi. These are pretty popular in our neighborhood. Anybody do that? Yeah. Does anybody go to ICL and do the yoga there? Or are you doing it in the park with Harold? Is our senior center a resource or what? Yeah. It's wonderful. We have so many $1.50 donation is really reasonable. So flexibility, you want to stretch, you want to practice your range of motion, keep those arms so you can still reach, and legs. I had a lot of trouble. I've had my knees replaced and now my back. And my lower mobility was really a challenge. So I have work on that all the time. I continue to work on it and keep my joints limber. Yoga, Pilates, good posture. You know, I discovered that back trouble is really front trouble. It's front trouble. You've got to develop your core. And you can do that lying in bed. I've been doing that since back surgery. And you just exhale, and then you pull in your core and have it. It's those muscles that are underneath the, underneath the tummy part. Yes. And you can hold it for a little bit and then just release it. So the deep breathing feels good and calms you. And you can do this before you get out of bed in the morning. And that's what I've been doing, working on my core, because I can't bend, lift, or twist yet. And so I've been working on my core in gentle ways. Strength training, gotta have it. You know the ads you see, I've fallen and I can't get up? That's usually a woman, because we start losing muscle mass, well, from midlife on. And by the time you hit 75, you've lost probably about 25% of your muscle mass. So you have to be vigilant to keep that muscle mass there and working so that if you get down on the ground, you can get back up. If you like to garden, you want to be able to get back up. If you like to do anything that requires you to get down on the floor, you want to get back up. So any of these, you don't have to do all of them all the time, but you want to do at least, well, let's see, I think it's about 5 days, 30 minutes each. You want to do 150 minutes a week. That's what the federal government recommends. But I take hour-long courses, so I take at least 3 classes a week, and that's how I do it. And then I just walk and, you know, movement around the house. I've learned with my back that there's so much we can do without hurting ourselves, and so walking is a wonderful exercise, and that's what I've been doing. So let's. Well, I'm in physical therapy right now, working on my core, specifically my core and my lower. Physical therapy. I got a prescription. My doctor didn't recommend it, but I wanted it because I felt I was hurting myself. I take physical therapy at the Health and Performance Center. It's right on the lower level of the Health and Performance, and it's right next to the Live Well Center. And then also just walking, I just walk with a friend around Tonequin Park, which is nice and flat. Because when you go uphill, you know, that kind of stresses your back, at least for me, but you all can go uphill and downhill. But exercise is really important. Plus, it gets all that oxygenated blood up to your beanie, and you need it. You need your brain to be full of rich oxygenated blood so you can think clearly, so you can secrete. Well, these are the benefits you get from moving around. You reduce your heart disease, your chances for heart disease and stroke enormously, and you help your brain, you help your moods. I don't know about you, but I get moody occasionally. And if I just get up and take a walk around the building at work, it distracts me from what was bothering me, so it reduces my stress, and I get wonderful air. The air here is so wonderful. I came from L.A. Anybody, it's like coming from Mexico or Beijing. The air was, you could just chew on it, or Salt Lake. Yeah, so you're all down here breathing, and I don't know what those people are doing up there. Anyway, so it boosts, it does so many, it boosts your immune system, which we all know. I know that I feel better. I have more self-esteem when I do something that I like exercise, because I never went to a gym. I never went, I was more of a sports girl, tomboy. You know, I like to play tennis and racquetball and all those kinds of things. And then I got that job that just planted me in a chair, and I only started playing on the weekends. So I feel good about myself, self-esteem, and I have more confidence about what my body can do. And it just does so many good things for your mind, your body, and your spirit, which is what we do at the Live Well. We try and address all those facets of our being. So yes, while you're eating, There are 10 commandments, and the first one is drink more water. We need to hydrate to flush those toxins out. Your brain can generate, the electricity in your brain can generate enough power for a 25-watt bulb. So what does electricity need to conduct it? It needs water, like in storms, you know, you get the lightning when it rains. Well, your brain fires more effectively and more powerfully if it's hydrated. So it's really important so you can think clearly. And you don't, you know, I have senior moments all the time. And so I drink a lot of water. Eat less salt. That's the latest manufacturers. You'll see that reduce sodium on your packaging. It's still too much. You should probably have about 1,500 milligrams, so count them up, because you're getting salts naturally in other foods, but it's the prepared things that need the salt to preserve them so they can sit on the shelf. So we have to be cognizant of it. Yes, your mother wanted you to eat more vegetables. My mother never said eat less fat, so I did. But I've changed my ways. And you want fresh fruits. It's just what you know. You just need really to do it. You want to emphasize whole grains. I've gotten back into drinking low-fat milk. Yes, beware of the added sugars in products. How many of you read labels? Because you're a smart group. Yeah, you got to read labels. You just have to. You can't go around saying, well, I think. No, you need to know. And limit your alcohol consumption, which is not too hard in this community. And take a multi, did I hit a vine? I mean a vein. Yes, not too much. But a daily multivitamin is just good insurance. I just decided to, you know, do that. That's all part of the prevention thing. So next is we want to think well. Let's go back to think well. Oh, no, we're there. The preview thing confused me. Yeah. Okay. So you probably do these things already, but you really need to surprise your brain. And your brain wants to do new things. Your brain wants to be surprised. If you go home the same way after church every Sunday, you're in a groove. You're in a rut, and you need to go different ways. Get lost. You know, I want to tell you about a professor at UCLA, a physics professor, and he's 72, and he's still at UCLA. And he started to notice that he was forgetting some of the formulas that he was teaching. Because, you know, after 45 years of teaching, he'd just put it up on the board. Well, he had to start looking them up. And the only other hint was his wife said, you know, you are really grumpy. And so he went to, UCLA has a Center for Longevity run by Dr. Gary Small, who's very famous in this world of longevity. And he gave him the IQ tests, the mini mental, all the tests, a raft of cognitive tests, and the guy passed everything. The IQ test, he was, you know, in the hundreds. And but then he did a PET scan, and a PET scan is the only one test that can visualize the plaque and the tangles in your brain. And Dr. Small said, Professor, you shouldn't even be able to form a sentence. He had so much plaque and so many tangles. But what the man had done is all his life he'd been active. He'd been learning new theorems, new logarithms, new everything in his profession. And he had carved new neural paths around the disease. And that is hope for us. Yes. And there's a longevity study going on right now that's 40 years old, and it's in Irvine. Do you remember back in the, must be the 60s or 70s, Leisure World, Del Webb's first Leisure World? Well, USC got in there and started studying this group. And it's winnowed down to 1,400 people. USC is no longer involved, but UC Irvine is involved. And in order to participate in this study, you need to donate your brain when you die. Yeah, they wait till you're not breathing. And so they found that about 40% of everybody had plaque and tangles, but that didn't mean they were not living a rich and full life, because we have the capability to carve new neural paths that link up around disease. So the body is so creative and resilient. So I suggest you surprise yourself or your mate today. These are just some suggestions. I am going to learn a new language. I want to learn Spanish. I don't know it, but I've been around it all my life. I already do crosswords, Sudoku. Do you do all that? Okay, so if you do crossword puzzles, try and do Sudoku. And if you do Sudoku, try and do crossword, because that's going to make your brain work. You're not going to want to do it. Your brain is comfortable. I can do a crossword in ink. Yeah, I'm so proud of myself. But can I do Sudoku? Pat Sapio tried to teach me, and I couldn't learn one-on-one. So, and you know, if you've got a passion, follow it. There's a woman out in Kayenta that teaches painting, and I've got three friends, and we said, oh, we don't know how to paint. We could never do that. And she said, come on out for 2 hours. You'll walk home with a painting that you did yourself. So I'm going to try that. Anyway, I just want to keep learning, because that professor inspires me and gives us hope.
Karen?
Yes.
How can we get rid of the plaque in our brain? Can we?
I don't know that you can get rid of it, but you can retard it by staying active, exercising. Even the drugs they give for Alzheimer's, it doesn't get rid of it, but it slows the growth. And that's what you can do naturally. And exercise has been proven that it's almost as effective as some of the drugs, depending on where you are in the development of the disease. So these are the formulas this is the prescription for longevity. So get out there and surprise yourself. Sleep. Yes, hi. There's hope. Do you just put your head in the microwave? Well, that, you know, they are really speeding towards getting this, because there's 40 million of us, they predict, that will be bumping into each other saying, I think I know you. Do I know you? That sort of, and they can't have that. It'll just shred the health system, first of all. And we don't have enough resources. I mean, it takes a village once you get dementia. It's a big challenge. I'm glad I didn't know that. Thank you. I just know that when I was at USC, they were working on an inoculation for younger people so that they'd never get it. And universities, med schools, they are rushing for a cure, a management protocol. But right now, we still just have Namenda and Aricept. Namenda's for skills, Aricept is for memory loss. But just get some oxygenated blood up to your brain, and you'll be thinking more clearly. And you'll be secreting those feel-good chemicals. That's what's important. When you're sedentary, when you possibly get depressed, when you possibly slow down, give up on yourself, whatever it is that you're struggling with, you start to secrete, not the feel-good, but they're harmful chemicals, and they absolutely exacerbate memory loss, and you can't focus. Yeah. That's right. Of course. I try and do that now.
Especially if you've been in the service.
Oh, okay. So he suggests that memory loss, if you've been in the service, is a good thing. Selected memory loss.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll talk to you later. Find out. Because I know you remember them. You remember it, don't you? You'd like to get rid of it. That's the problem. Okay, let's get back to sleep. When you are sleeping, your brain is doing its secretarial work, and it's filing. We get about 75 to 80,000 thoughts, images, impressions, memories, all day long. And they're going about 275 miles an hour, as fast as a Ferrari around our brain. And at night, when you calm down and sleep, it's doing its secretarial work. It's sending those things to the right places, to the right, you know how you've got language up here, you've got feelings over here, you've got confusion over here, whatever you have, it sends it to the right place in your brain. So you need to have contiguous hours of sleep. They used to say that older adults only need about 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and that has turned out to be a myth. Sleep has become a really, it's on the national agenda as an important thing to manage in your life. So if you're not getting sleep, notice how you feel when you wake up. Do you have headaches? Do you, you know, maybe you have to check out a CPAP or go to the sleep, we have a sleep lab and a sleep doctor, because sleep is so important. And you need it for your body so you can, you know, if you played pickleball, you've got to get better for the next day. So it repairs itself. So sleep is really important. And does anybody here not sleep? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You don't sleep. How many hours do you sleep? So do you take naps?
For the last couple of weeks, I have, if I can.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big napper. Yeah, 6 to 7. 7 to 8 is what Dr. Oz says. Sometimes you'll need 10. I have slept for 12 hours before and just couldn't believe it. Just depends what you've been up to. But sleeping as often as you can, to put together 7 hours, 6, 7 hours, would be great for your brains. Are you the same way? Yeah.
I try not to sleep during the day because I think I won't sleep at night.
Well, that too. I'm just saying if...
I don't sleep at night either.
Okay.
It's too hot.
It's too hot. Well, you know, room temperature is really important. Room temperature, the darkness... You actually need to be in a kind of a cool room, because when it's too hot, you will not sleep.
Sleep on.
Yeah.
No TV.
No teeth?
No TV.
Oh, TV.
Yeah.
If that relaxes you, taking your teeth out. Yeah. There's lots of ways to manage to get into sleep. It's staying asleep. That's the trick. Especially if you have a little bladder. Yeah. So I've tried reducing the fluids. I don't know when to shut off the faucet. I don't know, because I like to drink water. And I've developed a thirst. You know how when you change from, and you start craving water, especially in the summer. So these are the challenges.
Harry, Dr. Oz said today, 2 to 3 hours before you go to bed, don't drink.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. 2 to 3 hours. Just depends on when I go to bed. And, you know, I'm not whining because I love Dr. Oz, but that's probably right. So I have to get that scotch and soda in soon. Early, yeah. Pretty soon. Okay, so these are the basic. Set yourself up for good sleep. So these are the basics, and these are things you know. So don't exercise. Don't tear around the neighborhood at 8 o'clock at night and expect to go to sleep at 9. Because you're just all revved up and you've got your blood going and the pumping in the air and all that. Your lungs are going. So you want to just probably, if you read, quiet yourself. Breathing, just breathing will help you. These are all, you have, get us, you know, go to bed if you can around the same time. I know that... the streets fold up around here. I mean, you can barely hit a car at 8 o'clock at night because we're all home in our jammies. So, I don't know, for some of you people who can stay up past 8:30, I want to see you. And this is where the temperature is really important. You were right. Darkness, make it comfortable, have nice sheets, comfy. I love to cuddle up with my comforter in the winter, and it's got to be quiet. So if you can't sleep, don't fight it, because you'll get anxious and you'll stress yourself out, and that's also just as bad. So you can take those hints as a way to deal with not sleeping. But it's really much more important than we ever thought. Okay, so stress. Yeah.
All you have to do is remind yourself, I've got the midwatch from 12 to 4, so I better get some sleep.
Were you in the Navy?
Oh, I was in the Navy and the Coast Guard both.
Dan, aren't you a Navy man?
Air Force.
Air Force, okay. Well, the Air Force and the Navy always get together, don't they? Yeah.
Well, the Army joins
occasionally. Yeah, they have to go some way. I don't know how they get around. And but the Navy carries the Marines around. I'm learning this from Rotary because
we just sleep whenever you can.
Sleep whenever you can. Well, that will totally disrupt.
He can sleep at anywhere.
Oh, you're lucky. So, okay. He can just, you know, put his head back and he's gone.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Very disgusting.
Well, women are more sensitive.
Yeah.
And I swear we have more hormones that can wake us up, too. And that's a thing. If you're in a spiky period, you can just wake up and you feel like, oh, I've had 8 hours, and you haven't. So stress is a killer of all organs. It affects your entire body. This is the real killer. And this is what we have to get a handle on. And these are some of the ways that we manage stress. But I want to hear from you. Families can stress you out. Yeah, you know, God's apology for family are friends. So you can make a volunteer family, to get a volunteer family of all your friends. You know, I struggled for years, and I don't know if this is a woman thing, but that perfection thing.
Oh, God.
Oh, it will wear you out, and you'll lay in bed, and you'll think, I haven't done this, and you're making a list of all the things you haven't done, and it's already a perfect event. And we've got to let go. And that total control, I don't know if men ever want to be in total control. Because you're not. It's a real issue that we all get lessons in life, right? And some of these lessons are in these slides that we have to learn and learn and learn over and over and over again till we get it right. So, when I'm feeling down in the dumps, I call my girlfriends and we play these silly card games and I laugh like an 8-year-old. And it has made me feel so, because I, during back surgery, you know, all my friends are at work, and I live in a kind of a retired neighborhood, and so I called up my retired girlfriends, but I realized I can't be without people for too very long, or I go into a slump, and so laughter just snapped me right out of it, and I paid attention to that. There's nothing like being out of commission for a health reason that, you know, it gives your spirit a time to catch up with your body, because we race around.
Read the comics,
okay. Always. Or watch funny movies. Anyway, there's lots of choices up here. Don't isolate yourself. You'll never have this problem. Don't isolate yourself. And that's where we get in trouble. They found, the CDC did a study, and they found that of all the things that we do in life, connecting with one another is the most important. We are pack animals. We have to be around each other. When you isolate, your social systems go, and you get lonely, you get depressed. It's kind of a slippery slope. So what you all are doing right this minute is so good for you. You are connecting, and you are in community, and you are of like minds and spirits, and it's a joy to be around you. I can just feel it. So I'm getting a buzz myself. Yep, positive attitude. I know, don't you hate it when you're feeling down and somebody says, well, just think positive thoughts. But this is the backup to it. 77% less likely to die of a heart attack, stroke, or other cardiovascular because someone made lemonade out of lemons. It's very helpful if you learn to shift or even stop the negative self-talk up here. Anybody do that? No. I think it's probably been my biggest lesson in life, is to turn off that faucet of, well, why'd you say that? Oh, my God, did you wear that to the church? My God, what are you thinking? You know, all those little things, they hurt you. They do. Your body listens to it. And, you know, I used to come home from work and I'd, you know, I'd walk around like this until I had some body awareness. And that's why I think being 65 and older is a blessing, because we have a lot more awareness. We've made it through a lot of things. We've been up and down and around, and we know it's not going to kill us. So it's good to be aware of what your body is doing as well as your mind and everything else. So blessings are always, I'm sure you do this. Blessings are just, well, absolutely is the antidote to, I think, feeling depressed or having that pity party. And also taking action. So whatever scares you, if you can just face the fear and walk through it, it usually, as my mother said, did you die? No, I didn't die. So we can do it. But sometimes our fears carry us away. Forgiving yourself. This was harder than forgiving others. It's easy to forgive others for me. Forgiving myself, I had to practice. And I think forgiveness is such a powerful, powerful tool. And it lets you put things in perspective. And it helps you prioritize so that you don't get carried away on the small stuff of life that you get all tied up in knots about, because it's small stuff. Okay, yep, and happiness is a choice. So you can decide how you're going to feel today. Some days you need help. Other days, you're all on your own. You're doing fine. At least that's how I experience it. I don't know. Help me if you have another experience, because what goes on here stays here. So love well. Now, this next slide. Some of you may want to close your eyes. It's just an awareness check. It's just an awareness. When was the last time you hugged someone out of shared affection?
This morning.
Who said that? Oh, you. The man who can go to sleep. All right.
Yeah.
Just out of sheer affection. You just, like, I hugged my neighbor, and I said, gosh, I'm so glad you live down the street and you've got cards. When was the last time you talked to a long-lost friend that you keep? You know, when they pop into your mind, there's a reason. You know this. Either they're going to call you or you're going to call them. So you might as well be first. So connect with somebody. How long has it been since you apologized to somebody? A lot of times we get so fixated on being right. And when you apologize, you are so much more powerful. And you're vulnerable to that other person. And I think a bond is created that you can't discount. It's a powerful act to apologize. Giving and receiving affection, part of your life, that's so important. You know, that kindness, those random acts of kindness. You begin to secrete those endorphins. The person you're kind to increases their endorphins output, and people watching you will even get an endorphin buzz. So it's so important to be kind to yourself, to be kind to others, and giving and receiving affection is just so delicious. So I'm glad you're doing it spontaneously. You're an interesting man. A vital life involves regular and meaningful contact with friends, family, lovers, and others. So I hope that resonates in your life. Okay, well, connect well. This is what you're doing right now. I just have to get some water. This is more about your community, being out in your community. And I know some of you from you being out in the community and me being out there with you. And like Rotary with Dan, and classes that I've taken that some of you have been in. And it's important. This is part of that purposeful life, at least for me. I decided after making documentaries for so long, which was really intense. But what I wanted to do was a social worker. I wanted to help people find resources and live a better quality of life. And so that's a bigger purpose. It's out in the community, or it can be global. But you start if you're taking those baby steps, start in your own church, your own, join a club that's a service club. Bye, Alice. She always leaves early. She's come to all our lectures. Did she say she's half dead?
Yeah.
Oh, no way, Alice. Anyway, Alice is incredible. So these are the things that you get. So you believe in yourself, you develop self-efficacy. That is a big word for confidence. You just get confident because you're out, you've met people in your community. Now you know people, you're connected, you have a cause, you're all surrounded around, and gives you confidence. I'm big at giving a gift of time. I went back to school. It's not easy, but you can do it. I mean, your brain has to get back in the school mode. Pursue a second career. I'm on my third career. And they say kids born today will have at least six because the technology changes, everything changes. So you've got to be flexible, body, mind, and spirit. And involvement can give you many reasons to live long. And since we're talking about longevity, that purpose can keep us alive. You know that. You know how people who have been in the phase of dying, and they will wait until that family shows up or that one member they need to say something to. They will wait. So we have a lot of connections are very important. And next and last is you just want to do your basic prevention. So what does that mean? It means you just want to know what most of us know is glucose. That's your blood sugar, whether you've got diabetes or not. Blood pressure, cholesterol. I have to work on that. My physician, I said I didn't want to take statins because I just didn't want to take a pill. So she said, eat chia seeds. And it worked. I'm not really high, but I was over the line. And chia seeds helped me with my cholesterol. And I thought that was, we're getting doctors who can help us think outside the box. And that really helped me, and I really appreciated her willingness to not give me another pill. Okay, colonoscopy. And I think they're free. Aren't they free with Medicare?
Yeah.
They're free. And they're free. My insurance pays for it. This is really important because this can be fixed. 90% can be fixed before, because most things are slow growing. Get that eye exam and get your hearing checked, because sometimes when you can't see and you can't hear, you act slightly demented. And people can say, oh, he's losing it. She's losing it. Oh, you can't tell her anything. So don't forget those eyes and ears. If you lose your teeth, get your dental check. If you lose your teeth, you can lose your mind because you're not getting those nutrients processed. And this is the first processing plant that the food gets into. And then for women, we have special equipment, so we have special tests. And now there's some controversy about this test, and maybe men know more than I do. I might take that off because I've heard some controversy that it's not as, it doesn't predict like we thought it did. And so I may take that off. But that doesn't, prevent you from getting your prostate checked. So here we go. We've got a woman who's 113. So we all want to age well. That's the business we're in right now. And here's the longevity prescription. And if you do just seven things, one from each category, you can space it out. But if you do just one little change, it's going to increase your quality of life, whether you thrive, whether you feel like crap, do you feel as good as you could? Well, we can always feel better. And I know some of us get discouraged. I really did, because I've been in pain for 20 years, with pain shooting down my legs, and I would just shuffle along. and put on that brave face and happy, but I was in pain. And then I had back surgery. I'm still in pain, but I'm not, I don't have those shooting pains. And that's worth everything. So medicine, the technology, I don't like to take drugs. You probably don't either, but if you have to, you do. Made this whole process of the surgery and the medication practically painless. So I was stunned because, you know, I never wanted to have back surgery. Nobody does. But it really helped. And there's some things that I've never walked away and really felt, even when I got my knees replaced, I never felt that, oh, that was the answer. I'm okay now. I feel so much better. And I think I might be a half inch taller. Anyway, that is that. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of the Live Well Center, because the hospital has gone into the wellness business. It gets money from the feds for keeping people well and out of the hospital. That's how they're changing behaviors with doctors who used to give you 17 tests because they were paid by the procedure, by the tests. Now, hospitals, at least, are paid by who doesn't come back in 30 days. So now the hospital follows you, especially if you're 65 and older. We have a study going on, the NICHE program, which is Nurses Improving Care for, they keep calling us elderly, and I really resent that, but 65 and older. And they will follow you for a year to make sure you're okay, that you've got the resources in your home or the resources in the community that are supporting your health. This is what the hospital is doing, a pilot program right now. And it will be throughout the whole hospital, on all the floors. So if you're over 65, bye-bye, and thank you for letting me know. I won't take offense. And we've got 10 minutes. So are there any questions about the hospital? I'll answer it if I can. Do you feel like you have a prescription and you know what to do with it? It's pretty simple, and it's something we all know. It's just that this is the law. They've discovered over millennia that this is what it takes to live a good life. So I want to thank you for being such a good audience. Give yourself a hand. Wonderful. I had a great time. Yeah, Nancy.
I'd like to thank you for such an upbeat and positive outlook. And the biggest compliment I think anybody's ever paid to me is you don't look like whatever age I am, but you don't act like it. And I think that's the clue.
Yes, as Gloria Steinem said, when someone said, oh, you don't look 50, she goes, this is what 50 looks like. But you don't have to act like 50, you know, put on your shroud. So act up. Yeah, well, that's when they asked her. Now she's 80. She looks great. Yes, Nancy.
Since I was late, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You mentioned the facilities that are available at the Health and Performance Center as far as balance classes.
Yes.
Yes, because they've got a lot of wonderful classes.
You know, I forgot my shameless self-promotion brochures. This just tells you, the classes are $8 an hour, and we specialize in balance and mobility. We even have Build Me Up classes for people on walkers, canes, or wheelchairs, where we build up their core, and they graduate, eventually, out of that class and go to balance and mobility, and then you get to Fit for Life. And the classes are all taught by master's level professionals. We have the only gerokinesiologist. That means she knows how an older body moves and how it should move and what to do if you can't move it that way. So adaptive. And
so you could just call the health.
Yes, I should have brought, I just didn't, you know, I hate to make, it's not it's a sales pitch, but it's got the main number here. And if you're interested, call me. I've got my cards and I'll give you a tour. And that, you know, and just see if you like the feeling. We don't, it's not a membership thing. We don't want you to stay forever. We want you to come and get strong enough or able enough to go back to your, maybe your community has a workout gym. Maybe you're already going to well, Gold's isn't Gold's anymore, but, you know, go to your own gym. We don't, it's not a membership thing. It's just classes that you may want to get started on so you feel yourself and you feel successful, because success gives you confidence. And I know that I was afraid to move fast, and now I actually climbed a rock, and I never thought I could lift my leg high enough because it always hurt too much. So it's a place to test your body out with experts around you, you know, to help you do it without recruiting the wrong muscles and possibly hurting yourself. And you don't want to, you know, our goal is no one gets injured, no one falls down, no one, you know, although sometimes people do insist on falling down, but we help them get back up. So, thanks.
Thank you
so much. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yay! My first day back. I feel so energized by you. You know, that's a good thing.